of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't matter anymore. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand.
Just a few more days to labor, then I'll take my heavenly flight. Beulah land, I'm longing for you, and someday
Thank you, Brother Raley. What a great song that is. That's what we're looking forward to, are we not? Looking forward to that time, be with the Lord, perfect situation, perfect body, perfect mind. Sounds good, doesn't it? You know that's real. That will happen for every believer. I'm looking forward to that time and that day when that will come to pass. I hope you've enjoyed being at church today. I hope that you've enjoyed coming and being a part of Sunday school, the morning service, all the activities and things that have been going on. And see, y'all missed it. Y'all need to come up and be a part of the bus ministry sometime in the afternoon. See, you missed today. We had a chicken race today. I don't know if anybody won. In our bus ministry, we've had one bus. We've had buses do chicken races. We had one bus did a cockroach race. The kids had to bring their own cockroach in a matchbox, and they raced those rascals. And I guess at the end is 1, 2, 3. Okay? I guess is what happened at the end. I don't know, but I'm assuming that's what they did because I'm sure they didn't take them back home. Had one kid, this bus captain was telling me when they did this, several of the kids on the bus, he told them what they were going to have. He said, next week, we're going to have a cockroach race. Man, the kids, some of them were excited, and some of the kids, oh, where are we going to get a cockroach? We don't have any cockroaches. Where are we going to find one? One kid said, hey, you ain't going to worry. Come to my house. We got a bunch of them. So I guess that's where they got all their roaches. I don't know. you never know what you're going to get out of a kid, man. You open it up, they'll give you an answer. I'm glad you're here tonight. Take your Bible, if you would, find Genesis 19. We're going to read several passages from Genesis 19, Exodus 14, and Hebrews 12. Okay, Genesis 19, Exodus 14, and Hebrews chapter 12. Tonight, church, I want to preach to you, and for the time that we have together here tonight, I want to talk to you about forward progress. About forward progress. Going forward in your Christian life, going forward as a church. You know, so many times we get caught up in things of the past. And we need to let that go. And we need to continue to go forward. And forward progress is what I want to preach to you about tonight. Genesis 19, if you would stand with me. Genesis 19 and verse number 15, you'll recognize the story. This is the story here of Lot and his wife, his family. Of course, we know that they now have taken up residence in a city called Sodom, which is probably one of the most wicked cities ever recorded in the Bible. Homosexuality running rampant. Sexual sins, immorality running rampant in this city. And unfortunately, Lot and some of his family members had gotten caught up in this. Well, God had had about enough of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he sent some angels to Sodom to tell Lot, his wife, and his daughters, you need to leave. I'm going to destroy this city. They gave them instructions of what was going to happen, that God was going to destroy that city by fire. It was time for them to leave. And I want to pick up the reading now in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. And while he lingered," you know, that's an interesting phrase in the Bible. Why would you do that? I've never understood that. God's already told you, I'm going to destroy this city. You need to get out. And yet Lot lingered. "The men laid hold upon his hand and upon his hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass," if you'll notice here, "when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Now skip down to verse 24. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife," and I want you to circle these next two words because it cost her life. "His wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." I want you to circle those two words, "looked back," because that is what has cost, that's what cost Lot her life, and that is what has cost many, many good people in good churches their testimony. It's cost them their service for God because somehow they cannot escape the past. They cannot escape what has happened in their life. They're constantly dabbling in things that God has already forgiven, that God has already put under the blood of Christ, and yet they continue to look backwards. Lot's wife paid a great cost for looking backwards. Now take your Bible, go to Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. You'll recognize this passage as well. Remember, the children of Israel now have been delivered from Egypt. They have now found themselves on the shore of the Red Sea, and they look across that Red Sea and they're thinking, now what are we going to do? I mean, by the way, we just serve a God that just brought us and delivered us out of the hand of Pharaoh, which we saw conduct 10 plagues and brought the greatest leader in the history of the Bible to his knees. Yeah, God did that. So now they find themselves on the shore of the Red Sea and they look in the distance and somebody at the very back of the pack says, I think there's dust coming up from the desert. Matter of fact, I'm not thinking there is. And all of a sudden he said, look back here. There's something coming. It must be the Egyptians. Now, folks, listen. God had told them, had already promised them deliverance, did he not? But I want you to notice, if you would, in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Now, wait a minute. Did you notice that? We're going to talk about this in just a moment. But did you notice what caused the fear? Looking where? That's what caused it. And all of a sudden, they're afraid. And Moses said, stand still, if you'll notice there in verse number 13, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now notice this next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go, which direction? Forward. But wait a minute, there's a sea right there. We can't go forward. I said go forward. Don't look back. Look to the sea. That's where the miracle was going to take place. That's where the blessing was. That's where God was going to operate. He operates what's ahead of you, not what's behind you. You see. He said, look to the sea. And man, he split that Red Sea. I thought, oh, okay. Yeah, he does operate in the future. He does operate in front of us. Now, take your Bible now. Let's look at a New Testament sister verse to this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we, that's us, that's believers, also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set where, church? Not behind me. The race that is set where? Before me. Kind of sounds like the Christian life is designed for you to be facing forward. It kind of sounds like that God's got it all worked out as long as we'll face forward and look to the goal, look to the finish line, look ahead of us. You see, Israel, they begin to be afraid. They begin to say things. They begin to complain. All of these same things. Why? Because they begin to look back. And it costs them. It costs Lot's wife her life. And you know what it'll cost you tonight, Trinity Baptist Church member? It'll cost you joy. It'll cost you blessings. It'll cost you a walk with God. The Christian life is designed for forward progress. Now, Father, would you bless our time together tonight? And as we study the Scriptures, would you open our eyes to truth tonight? And that would you help us, Lord, as we try to learn to what to do to be better Christians, to follow you, and to face forward in our walk with Christ. And we'll give you the glory for what you should do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look here just for a second, church. I want to give you an illustration about where the majority of Christian people and an area of their life they struggle with. I want you to look to your left, and let's pretend that this wall right here is everything in your past. And this wall over here to the right is everything in the future. Here you are in your Christian life, and I in my Christian life, I'm between my past and my future. And I get to make a choice as a Christian of how I'm going to run the Christian life. I can either run it as it is designed to be run, which is which way? Forward. And running the Christian life, living the Christian life, serving God, looking forward. That's the way it was designed. That's where true joy is. That's where true blessing is. Matter of fact, that's where the will of God is. It's in front of you. It's forward. That's the way it was designed. But a lot of us, we don't run the race like that. Instead of running the race forward, facing what God has designed for our life, We run the Christian life this way because we can't get ourselves from being entangled with the past. We run our life this way. And we're constantly watching the past, having no idea what's ahead. And we go all of our life and we do nothing but always look backwards. Now folks, listen to me. That's not how the Christian life was designed. It is designed to be facing forward. God told Israel, what are you worrying about them Egyptians? I've already taken care of them once. You think I'm going to allow them to come and take you back to Egypt? He said, don't look back. Look which way? Look forward. Look to the sea. That's where the miracle will take place. And it did. And boy, they went across, the Bible says, on dry ground. They didn't go splashing knee-high through water. There wasn't no mud puddles. God dried the ground up. They went across on dry ground. Why? Because the miracle took place when they faced forward. In your life and my life, God's will for your life is what's in front of you. Listen, He remembers the past. He remembers all of those things. Listen, if God has forgiven you of your sins and forgiven you, then you know what you need to do? You need to understand, don't constantly look back and run your Christian life looking back toward the past. Many of you probably watched the Olympics. You know what old boy that set that world record that run the 100 meters? I want to tell you something. I can outrun that guy. You know that? I sure can. Now here's the rules though. I get to run forward. He has to run it again backwards. I promise you I can beat him in 100 meters. Because you know what his problem is? His problem is now I have now taken him out, see, of his strong point because now he's going to have to run backwards while I run forward. My strength is going forward. His weakness is looking which way? Backwards. I promise you I can outrun him, and most of you could too. What would it be like if you watched a NASCAR race and here's the guy on the pole. He pulls his car up and he says, no, wait a minute now. I'm going to run this race a little different. He said, the other 40 guys can run it whichever way they want to, but I'm going to go in reverse. I'm going to run the race backwards. Now, folks, we'd turn the TV on and we'd say, what is this guy doing? What is he? Has he lost his mind? He can't run this race backwards. He said, no, this is the way I'm going to do it. Listen, we'd think the guy had lost his mind. Anybody ever seen anybody riding a horse backwards? Huh? Anybody ever seen somebody mount a horse and just pat it on the bottom and say, let's go? And it takes off. Nobody does that. Nobody rides a horse backwards. Nobody drives a car backwards. Nobody runs a race backwards. Why? It's all intended to go forward. That was the design. That's the reason there's a head and there's a tail. Wasn't this educational? God has a design. And in the Christian life, you know what the design is? For you to go forward. For me to go forward. It is not for me to run my race this way, facing backwards all my life. Let me tell you what that kind of thing does. When we try to attempt to live our Christian life running backwards, constantly facing the past, there are several things that it does. Number one, you cannot see what's ahead of you. You can't see. That's the reason God told Israel, turn around and go forward. That's where the miracle was going to take place. And see, when you operate your Christian life, and if I operate my Christian life always looking to the past, I never know what's in front of me. I never know what the will of God is. I don't know which direction I'm going. All I know is I'm entangled with things of the past. You can't see what's in front of you. You're blind. And by the way, you have no control. Number two, it's almost impossible to stay on track. You ever tried to run backwards? You ever say, on your mark, get set, go. We do this at junior camp, okay? And what they're doing, I'd say, on your mark, get set, go. And boy, those kids would take off and about half of them fall. Why? Because they can't stay in a straight line. Because they don't know what's in front of them, they can't stay in a straight line. They're going all over the place like this. And it's the same thing we do. We weave all over the map in our Christian life. Why? It's because we're facing the wrong direction. We need to turn around and face the right direction. You see, running backwards, you can't see what's ahead. It's almost impossible to stay on track. Number three, it causes chaos for those trying to go in the right direction. Now, let me show you something here. Lucas, stand up right here. Tim, come stand right here. All right? Now, if we are going to race, okay, you guys stand right here. Okay, you turn around, you face this way, you face this way. Okay? Now, if us three were going to race, and I said, on your mark, get set, go, we're going to race all the way to that wall, touch the wall, and come back. Y'all think I can beat these two if they go backwards and I go forwards? I promise you I can. Okay? You know why? Because they have now put themselves in a disadvantage, right? Because, first of all, they don't know what's ahead of them. They're going to hit a pew. They're going to hit the communion table. They're going to bounce. It's going to be like a pinball. They have no idea what's in front of them. Secondly, they can't stay on track. And see, if I've got a straight line, I can run straight to my goal, tag it, come back before these guys ever get up off the floor. Right? Because they have known that they can't stay online. But you know what? You know what my biggest obstacle is going to be? Is them. Because while I'm trying to go forward, they're going all over the place. Because they don't know what's in front of them. So they're bumping me out of the way. I'm having to go around them. And that's exactly what you'll do to other people if you can't stay going forward. When you start looking to the past, you begin to become a hindrance to other people. That's what happens. And see these guys right here, these guys, now if we turn around and we all face this way, I got no chance, right? But let me tell you something. They won't become a hindrance to me. They'll stay in line. They know where we're going. They'll tag, get back, and beat me back here. There won't be any problem. They can see, right? They'll stay on line, and they won't be any hindrance to me whatsoever. Thank you, guys. Now, all I'm saying to you, that's what going backwards, that's what facing backwards causes in our Christian life. Number four, there's the potential of hurt increases for you and others. The potential of hurt increases for you and others. Listen, these guys going down here, before you know it, we'll have knocked heads, falling over the top of each other. You don't want to create hurt for somebody else. And then number five, it eliminates the possibility of success. When I try to run backwards, if I'm going for a gold medal, and this guy's going to run forward, and everybody else in line is going to run forward, and I'm going to run backward, you know what my potential of success is? Zero. I have no chance. Because I cannot stay in my lane running backwards. I can't stay going in the right direction. By the way, does not the Scripture tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You see, that's just the way the Christian life was designed to be run. It was designed to be run heading forward, forward, forward progress. If your eyes are always glued on the past, you have no hope for the future. No hope. If you're constantly looking backwards. And by the way, did not Lot's wife, you know what happened the moment she turned backward? No hope. That's it. And the thing about it is, you know what? If the people of God constantly, when they left Egypt, there were probably some that were delivered from Egypt and they were always doing this. You know why? Afraid. Because, hey, these Egyptians, these are powerful people, you see. Yeah, but God had already taken care of them. And He took care of them finally because He told Israel, once you get across, I'm going to let them in and they will not follow you anymore forever. So don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. Now, let me ask you a question here about Lot's wife. Why did she look back? Everybody could have their own opinion about why she looked back. Why did she risk her life and future for a glimpse of what was behind her? She was willing to take a chance. She was told, do not look which way? Back. Don't look back. All right, Brother Todd, so why? Why did she take a chance? Well, I think several things. First of all, I think she didn't know the consequences of looking back. Because I looked far and wide in the Scriptures, I don't ever see any place in there where they explain, you look back, you're going to turn to a pillar of salt. They just said, don't look back. You see, there's some things in the Christian life God don't have to explain to you. Just don't look back. He just says it, and that's it. Don't have to have an explanation. He commands it, that's it. Doesn't have to have an explanation. They were told, get out of here and do not look back. Look forward. Why? Because that's the way, that was the way of escape. The way of escape was forward. That was the progress that they were to make going forward. She was simply just told, don't look back. The angels didn't explain what the consequences were. So you know what she did? She took a chance. And that's exactly what we do if we run the Christian life looking backward. I think, second of all, she gave in to the flesh. You ever give in to the flesh? And this time, she gave in to the flesh one time too many. And this time it cost her her life. You see, the flesh, listen to me now, the flesh thrives in the past. It thrives. You ever seen an old hog wallow in slop? Man, they get down in there, and I mean, they have a great time. They're slopping around, and man, they're kicking mud up. They'll take their face and snout, put everything in. Listen, their old nostrils will be clogged with mud, and they'll go, and they'll blow that stuff. They love it. Covered with it. That's what the flesh does. You know what it likes to do? It likes to go wallow in the past. Because you know what? That's where it likes to live. It doesn't want to face the future because the future holds something that is unknown to it. At least it knows what's happened in the past. And it likes to go and wallow in that. You see, the flesh is always curious. That's what happened to Miss Lot. She's just too curious. God said, go forward. She said, well, I'm going to take a little peek and see what happens. And she took a chance, lost her life. And you know what it did? Number three, it destroyed her family. So what happened? Well, first of all, now Lot has no wife. Have you ever thought about this? You ever thought about that maybe, just maybe, if Lot's wife had not looked back, that his two daughters may not have had plotted incest? You ever thought about that? Maybe if she hadn't have looked back, if she had had a little more self-control and understood it's to go forward, not to look back, we may not have all the things that we had in the Bible. But she couldn't control herself. She couldn't control her flesh, and it destroyed her family. Lot's without a wife brought grief on her family and caused her daughter to opt as incest. You know why they did that? They panicked. They panicked. Now, would her daughters have done this anyway? I don't know. I kind of think maybe if Mama was there, they'd changed their mind. Or it may not have even entered their mind. You see, Mrs. Lot's decision to run backwards or look backwards cost her her family. My question is, do you think it's worth it? Do you think it was worth, after 1 second she turned her pillar of salt, do you think it was worth that one little glimpse of looking backwards? I don't think so. You see, way too many of us today, here's what we're trying to do, church. We're trying to run a race intended to be run facing the finish line, and we're trying to run it backwards with our eyes fixed on the past. Now, here's what happens when you run a race like that. When you determine that you cannot get untangled from the past and you've chosen to run your Christian life this way, let me tell you what that's going to cause. Number one, it's going to cause fear. That's exactly what it caused Israel. When they looked back, they were sore what? Afraid. They were afraid. You said, what have I got afraid looking to the past? Well, let me tell you why. Because I've dealt with a lot of people that fight this problem. You know what looking to the past does and why it brings fear? Because you're afraid it's going to come back. Yeah, you're afraid somebody's going to find out what you did 20 years ago. And so you know what you feel you got to do? You've got to face it and guard it. And so in your Christian life, you're facing it because you're afraid. The fear set in that it might come back. And it brings fear. You see, that's what Israel, you know what they were afraid of? They were afraid the Egyptians were going to come and take them back to Egypt. That's what they were afraid of. They were afraid that their past was going to come and get them and take them back and put them in bondage. That's what they were fearful of. Matter of fact, that's the reason they started murmuring. That's the reason they started griping. You see, facing the past brings fear. Let me tell you what else it does. It brings faithlessness. It brings faithlessness. Did you notice not only did they were they afraid, all of a sudden, would to God, we were back in Egypt. At least we had something to eat. At least we had a place to live. Boy, I wish we were back there. Faithlessness. But you know what it comes from? It comes from looking to the past. It comes from looking at all the garbage and all the things that God has already forgiven you from, and all it is just a tactic of the devil. Just take a look back. Come on. Just take a glimpse backwards one time. And listen, the day you do will be the day you fall. It'll be the day that you stumble, and it'll be a heartache in your life. You see, they forgot God's deliverance. They ignored His power. They ignored everything. It caused faithlessness. It also brought complaining. They began to gripe. They began to murmur. Listen, have you ever seen a more complaining people in your life than Israel was? They complained about everything. They complained about the kind of food that was given. They didn't like that. They complained about this. They complained about that. They complained about everything. You know why? Because they constantly looked back. Always looking backwards. That's the reason they were murmuring. That's the reason they complained. Oh, things aren't working out. Things aren't just like we thought they were going to be. And that's what looking backwards does. Let me tell you what else it does. A result. Not only is it fear, not only faithlessness, not only complaining, but you know what else it does? It causes exhaustion. Listen, I counsel people all the time. And one of the things they said, Brother Todd, I am just so tired. I'm just so tired of fighting. I'm just so tired of this. I'm just so tired of that. And my first question is, well, why do you keep looking back then? That's the reason you're tired. That's the reason you're mentally exhausted. That's the reason you can't do anything for God. That's the reason when you come in my office, you're, I'm exhausted. Why? You know why? Because you're trying to run a race that was intended for you to go forward. You're trying to run it backwards. You're trying to run a race running it backwards. You see, looking backwards, let me tell you what it does. First of all, it costs you momentum. Because you can't go near as fast looking backwards as you can running forwards. It costs you energy. And then it costs you undue stress. I read an article some time ago by a local doctor here, and he said, in his opinion, the number one killer in America was stress. Number one, in his opinion. But you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion where a lot of that comes from is because a lot of the people that are under incredible amounts of stress are constantly looking back. And God has intended them to look forward. To look forward. Have you ever noticed about the armor, the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6? Man, you're covered from head to toe everywhere except because the Christian life was never, it was never intended for you to run backwards. And the only time that you open yourself up to the devil is when you look back. Because he likes for you to wallow in the past. And things that have already been forgiven and under the blood of Christ. You see, we expose ourselves to a lot of hurt and a lot of things. And may I say to you, what this does by facing the past, it also brings you into captivity. Can I say this to you? I've been to a lot of prisons. I've been to and preached in several. I've visited many, many people in jail. And can I say something to you? Every day they wake up, you know when they wake up and they see those cell bars, you know what it reminds them of? It reminds them of their past. It reminds them of why they're there. It reminds them of what put them there. And every day they wake up and they see the bars, and it automatically reminds them of the crime they committed in the past that got them there. Every day of their life, they're reminded of it. Every day they wake up. Do you want to live like that? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and realize that I've been in captivity to my past. I don't want to live that way. The Christian life was designed to go forward. All right? So what do we do? So why do we run facing the past? Why is it? I told you what the past brings. It brings fear, it brings faithlessness, complaining, exhaustion, and captivity. So why do we do it? Well, I think there's three things here, the reason we do it. First of all is this. Because of some life-changing event that occurred in your life. Something life-changing that occurred in your life is the string that keeps drawing you back to the past. You know what kept drawing Israel to look backwards? 430 years of slavery. That's why they were attached to the past. That's why they were afraid of the Egyptians. That's the reason they complained. They murmured. They were faithless. The fear. They were exhausted and brought themselves into captivity. Why? Because of a life-changing event. You think that would affect you, 430 years of slavery? Yeah, they were affected by it. Maybe for you today, maybe it's something different. Maybe it's an illness that you're facing. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's bankruptcy. Maybe it's the destruction of a lifelong friendship or a prodigal child or whatever it may be. Something has got a rope tied to your ankle that keeps trying to draw you backwards. And as long as you keep turning and looking back, you're going to be no different than Lot's wife. You will be that cost of her life, and there will be no, you'll be no different than Israel and what they faced. You'll live a fearful Christian life, a faithless Christian life. You'll live a complaining Christian life. You'll be exhausted in the work of God. You won't be able to function. And then you, as it all ends, you'll become captive now to your past. And may I say to you, you know what the past does? It paralyzes. It freezes people. It paralyzes them because they're afraid it's going to come back and get them. They're afraid of what people are going to find out. Well, folks, let me tell you something. I got some good news for you. That whatever I did in the past prior to my salvation has been forgiven and God has put it behind Him as far as the east is from the west. That's good news. But usually the reason we run that way is because of some life-changing event that occurred in our life. I think number two, the reason that we run facing our past or run backwards in our Christian life is because of anger and bitterness towards something or someone in our life or in that life-changing event. Maybe it's bitterness toward a person that's directly responsible for hurting you. Maybe you say, well, we don't understand, Brother Todd. They stabbed me in the back. Yeah. You want to look at my back? I think all of us have a few scars in the back, don't we? But you know where that's behind me. And I can't continue looking backwards toward that. Listen, I forgive them. God's forgive them. I can't hold on to anger and bitterness toward those people. But let me say something else. It's not just anger and bitterness towards somebody. There may be some here tonight that you're just flat out angry with God. And you know what? It's that big question. I don't understand why, Lord. Why am I going through all of this? Why am I facing all of this in my life? I don't understand why I'm going through this. Angry with God for allowing things to happen in our life. Unforgiveness. Whatever it may be that falls under that category. Anger and bitterness towards something or someone in that life-changing event. Let me give you a third thing here. And that's regrets. Did you hear what I said? I said regrets. And those regrets in the past. Listen, I'm telling you, if we pull the screen down tonight and God say, listen, I'm just going to call people out by random and I'm going to show you everything, congregation, that this person did in their past. You know what? You would scream for mercy, would you not? Please! Don't show them all of my past. And he says, wait a minute now. That's the way you're running. You're running facing that way. And by the way, you're telling everybody by your life, and you tell everybody about what you did in the past, so I don't understand. So what's the big deal if I just show it on the screen? You see, if we run that way, our life will reveal all of that type of stuff because that's what we're entangled in. Regrets. Here's what you need to do with regrets. Number one, face it. Just face it. Hey, you made a mistake, sinned against God, whatever it is, just face it and understand it's forgiven. The devil can't use that against me because God's forgiven it. Number two, forget it. You say, oh, I can't forget. Well, let me show you something here. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. You see, here's what we think that word forget. We think that word forget means to erase it. You can't erase it. How are you going to do that? It happened. You can't erase it. But let me tell you something. You can be free from it. You can be free from it. You see, forgetting our past means that it no longer has sway over our heart. Now look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What's the next word? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are, which direction? Before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Is it possible to forget? Is it possible to get victory over my past and freed from it? Is it possible for it not to have sway over my life? The answer is, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Regrets. You face it. Forget it. And then you do what Peter did. You finish it. You think he had some regrets? Hey, he denied the Lord three separate times. I think he regretted it, don't you? But you know what? When you find him at the end of John chapter 21, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than, oh Lord, you know I love thee. You see, we find Peter finishing it. He understood. He faced his past. He went out and wept bitterly. He forgot it. He got victory over it. Didn't have sway over it anymore. You say, well, how do you know it didn't have sway over his heart anymore? Well, I read Acts chapter 2. He got over it, didn't he? He forgot it. And he went out there and preached. And over 3,000 people, at least 3,000 got saved because 3,000 got baptized. You know what I think he did? I think he forgot it. Amen. He faced it. He forgot it. And you know what? He said, I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish it. You see, regrets. Well, how are you going to get turned around? Let me give you these and I'm done. Number one, accept the providential will of God. Can I say this to you? You can't change the past. Anybody in here beside me tried to change it? No? Yeah. And you know what? I found out at the end of the day, Brother Robert, it was still the same. I couldn't change it. Face the providential will of God. It happened. It's done. And you cannot change it. There's nothing you can do to change it. Number two, turn and face God with your past. Just simply say, Lord, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I live in fear every day. Then willfully make a turn with your past to the Lord. It can be done. Because I know in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said that He was willing to take your burden upon Him. And He was willing to give you a very light yoke. He's willing to take your burdens and exchange them for a light yoke so that you could run forward like you needed to run. Number three, ask God to forgive you for being angry with Him. Listen, can I admit something tonight and confess? I've been confessing all day. I confessed two or three times in Sunday school. I'm going to confess something. I've been mad at God. Yeah. You say, oh no. I'm talking about mad. You know why? Because I felt that something happened in my past that I didn't think should have happened. And, of course, we all think we didn't deserve it, right? Oh, Lord, you don't understand. I don't deserve this. But you know the next thing, when you close your eyes and you get so angry, you say, Lord God, I don't understand why this happened. I'm so angry at you. It's amazing how you begin to see the nail-scarred hands. He said, tell me again, you didn't what? And that still, small voice says, did I deserve this? Did I deserve a cross? Did I deserve to be beaten beyond any recognition of a human being? Did I deserve to have my beard ripped out of my face? Huh? Did I? It's amazing how we tone down, don't we? When He begins to reveal to us what He didn't deserve. Number four, determine never to walk backward again. It's just an act of the will. It's just determine, I'm not going to turn backward. And then lastly, accept the truth. And the truth is, the Christian life is designed to run which way? Forward. That's how it was designed. And listen, if I'll believe the truth, if I'll accept the truth, the Bible says the truth will set me free. It'll give me the ability to take my past and take it to the Lord and ask Him, forgive me for living in the past, for facing the past, to trying to change the past. I can't do it. And let me tell you something, folks. It may be something so deep-seated in your soul, it may be something that happened 20 or 30 years ago that you still hadn't gotten over and that you're still angry at God about. Can I say something to you? Get free of it tonight. Because the Christian life was designed for forward progress. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attentiveness. You listened very well tonight.